Have you ever been tempted to bid on a tax lien property but weren't sure about the process? Today we talk with a real estate broker who's been going to the auctions for years with great success. And he's here to share his advice for finding bargains with a potentially big payoff starting right now.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast, the show about everything real estate with a personal touch. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sanville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. I am indeed your host, Jim Sanville. We're coming to you today from the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful, sunny Fort Myers, Florida. This is the show where we talk about real estate, every aspect of real estate. We do this show for realtors, home buyers, and home sellers, and we talk with real estate experts from every corner of the business. And we have one in studio today I think you will enjoy hearing from. It'll be a very informative show, I can guarantee you. I want to say hello first to our producer, Jerry Johnson. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jimmy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. What's new with you? Tell me What's something new.
We're doing our sort of end-of-year activity marketing in on our side of the office complex here. Specifically, the installation gala for our new board of directors.
Sounds like this is a busy time for the marketing department
at RPCRA. It is. Yeah, we got some other video production in the works as well. Oh, but cool. Busy day. But as Jim always says, it's bright and sunny.
It is bright and sunny.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I love this time of year. It's just the best to me.
Air is great outside.
Yeah, too. A little humid today, but it'll turn in the next few days. I'm sure of it. As I mentioned, we have a great guest today who's in here to talk with us about tax liens and deeds. He's an expert in that area, and it's an area I know precious little about. So you're going to hear me ask potentially some dumb questions, but hey, that's why I'm here, so that we all get our questions answered. And Jerry may even ask one from time to time.
Maybe. It's always good to learn. I love learning new things from our awesome guests.
That can happen. So without any further delay, let me introduce you to Mr. Tommy Senator. Welcome, Tommy.
Hey, Jim. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. And Jerry, thank you for inviting me.
No, we're happy to have you.
We are very happy to have you. Yes, indeed. You're a member of our association and have been for how many years?
I'm going to guess probably about 10 years.
10 years. You have been in the business for a while. Now, let's start the ball rolling here, Tommy, by finding out a little bit about your background. Where are you from?
So originally from New Jersey, the northeast part. And my wife and I got started in real estate back in 1987. We bought a duplex. You know, that was just a better way to be able to afford housing by having a tenant pay part of our mortgage payment. Sure. And that got us into the ball of becoming real estate investors. And it just kept growing over the years. And it wasn't until about 2001, 2000, somewhere around there, that we actually got heavily invested in real estate. And we started buying a lot of rental properties. And it started building it up. And most of them, like our topic today, is we bought them through tax lien certificates. And we were buying properties. And by the time we left New Jersey in 2004, I'm guessing we had somewhere around 22 rental properties.
Hmm. Now, tax lien certificates, that's the shorthand for that would be a tax sale, right?
Yes, that's the tax lien. So the tax lien certificate, short version is tax lien.
Tax lien, okay. So you did all this investing in New Jersey, and then you made it down here at some point.
Right. So, and the funny thing is how I got started with tax liens. When I decided to go and stop being a general contractor, just didn't like working and not getting paid well, I decided to go back to school. So I studied law, and I became a certified paralegal. And my first job was working for a law firm called Alaca & Pellegrino, and their primary business was doing tax lien foreclosures. And I became their entry-level paralegal, and then eventually became a senior paralegal. And during the process, I would talk to our clients and ask them, why did you pick these? How do you pick these? What are they? And over the course of a year, I had an amazing education. So I started looking more into it. And I went to the bookstores. Like every time we want to learn something, we go to a bookstore. Let's get a book on it. Let's read about it. I mean, this was back probably in 1998.
So no Google then, right?
No, there was no Google back then. No, none of that good stuff. And I couldn't take out an iPhone because they weren't invented yet. So we went to Barnes & Noble. And we were shocked. There was no books on the subject.
Really?
I'm like, well, this is really terrible. You know, how am I going to, you know, get a shortcut? And nobody was teaching it. So I started taking notes every time I talked to a client, you know, because I had to, part of my job was to communicate with the client, let them know the status we're at. And I'd ask them, well, why did you pick this tax lien? How did you bid on it? And that's how I got my education. And I started taking notes. And eventually my notes turned into a book. But it's just, it's an exciting area to be because not many people know about it.
What's the name of the book?
So the book's called Tax Lien and Tax Deed Investing, The Proven Technique. It's in all the bookstores online, not in actual bookstores, but you can get it at Barnes & Noble online and all the other bookstores.
Or Amazon.
Amazon. Yeah, if you want to save some money, go to Amazon. They, for some reason, I don't know how they're doing it, but they're selling used books. Never heard of such a thing, but
go ahead. Yeah,
I save money.
Yeah, I do save money. So that's wonderful. So, but does that pertain only to New Jersey?
No, so every state, through the statutes, has to, by law, sell off their tax delinquencies. So let's just start with what is a tax lien, right?
Yeah, please, tell me.
So we actually know what we're talking about. So a tax lien is when a homeowner fails to make their annual property tax bill and they just don't pay it. Well, the county needs the money. They just can't survive without having that revenue coming in.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
So once a year by statute, they have to sell these off. So they either could do a tax lien certificate sale where they sell the tax liens where the buyer will earn a certain interest, and then that gives them a lien against the property. So on a tax lien certificate, that tax lien is a superior lien against all other liens.
Against mechanics liens or anything else?
Everybody, even mortgages. And most people are amazed, like, well, how could you do that? How can you go wipe out a mortgage? Well, we're not technically wiping out the mortgage. What we're doing is we're separating the person from the property. So the mortgage still exists. It just exists on the person. So now we get the property, what we call free and clear of all liens, judgments, and encumbrances, with the one caveat. Any municipal liens will survive, and any federal liens will survive. And I found that we are able to wipe out IRS liens by just giving a certain notice to the IRS, and they'll lift it from the property. Now, that's true on about 90% of all the properties, but if we're looking at a $5 million property with a $4 million IRS lien, that's not getting lifted. They're going after that one. But we're talking properties that are under $300,000, and they might have like a $10,000 IRS lien. They're not going to waste their time.
Now, these properties that are getting the liens placed against them, these are probably homes that are paid off or there's no mortgage involved, right? Because typically the mortgage service company is going to pay the taxes, right, through your monthly bills.
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. There'd be escrowed the taxes and insurance. But there's a lot of mortgages that don't have it escrowed where the owner decided to pay it on their own. So in many cases, banks have the mortgage on the property, but they didn't pay the taxes, and
really?
They lose the property.
That was never the case on any mortgage I had. I always had to pay principal, interest, taxes, and insurance.
Mine's separate.
Is it really?
Yep.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Is that a state-by-state thing, Tommy, or
no,
is it the same all over the place?
It's a bank option, you know, how they're doing it, what their requirements are. I know that for most of the banks I've ever dealt with over the years, almost all of them wanted me to escrow taxes and insurance because they understand that, you know, taxes being a priority lien over their mortgage, that they need to save their interest because they basically lose the collateral.
Sure, sure.
Some banks just won't do that.
Wow. No, yeah, not at all.
Is this problem of tax liens or unpaid taxes, I guess, is the root problem, is that getting better or worse? Is there more of that lately, less of it?
So it's cyclic. Like everything else in our market, it goes up and down.
Yeah.
We've seen in the past year, there's been a shortage or a lull in the tax liens and tax deed sales based upon the federal regulation about the stopping of foreclosures. So that kind of stopped everything. You can't lose your property for non-payment of taxes. You can't lose it for non-payment of a mortgage payment. So they had that moratorium on foreclosures and evictions. That was lifted.
And the bills have mounted up in the interim, right?
It does. And what happens is the number that would have been coming forward had to be stopped. So we were seeing very few tax deed sales, if any. The tax liens are once a year. I've noticed in the last month, the numbers have almost tripled in volume. So I know, like right here in Lee County, I follow the tax deed sales every week. And this Tuesday, we didn't have any, or else it would have been fun to talk about it. So it's next Tuesday. And I'm looking to go and buy at least one of the properties. We started out with about 90 properties up for sale for that week, of which there's still about 75 available that didn't get paid off. So the numbers are staggering. We'll probably see it 100 to 150 properties a week once we get into the full cycle.
Hmm. Now, I'm guessing purchasing and investing in tax lien properties is not for amateurs, right? Because there must be certain pitfalls that you want to avoid.
Oh, there's many hurdles and pitfalls when you're doing that.
Hurdles and pitfalls. Tell me about
it. Yeah. So here's the thing. So when you're buying a tax lien to start with, and in Lee County, actually in Florida, we sell tax liens and tax deeds. We're a hybrid state. So when you buy a tax lien, you always have the potential of becoming a homeowner or property owner, because it could be land as well. And you acquire whatever that lien was on. So if you're just buying these liens sight unseen just because you want to get great interest, because here in Florida we can get 18% per year, which is amazing. But what happens if you get a property that has an environmental hazard? What if it's a former gas station that had oil tanks and fuel tanks that were leaking in the ground?
Yeah, some exposure there.
So you have that contamination. Now you're the owner, and now you're responsible. But there was some federal regulation that had come down many years ago that says that if you did buy it through the tax sale via a tax lien or a tax deed, you're not responsible for the cleanup, and you're permitted to just walk away and lose your investment. But that's not a good thing. You know, we don't ever want to walk away. So I tell everyone, you need to do your due diligence. For me, I will try, you know, and I don't do it 100% of the time. You know, I don't follow my own advice. I will probably about 95% of the time, I will walk on the property and inspect it, whether it's raw land or even if it's a property. You know, if it's a home and it's occupied and there's cars in the driveway and it's the yard's well kept, I don't need to see the inside, because the outside is using a great indicator on the inside. Now, if they got motors in the front yard and cars on blocks and, you know, the shingles are off the roof and everything's falling apart, well, I could probably tell that's the inside too. Now, if it's vacant, well, then, you know, probably shouldn't do it, but I'll walk around the property, and if I know it's vacant, you could tell when it's vacant, right? The meter's gone, the grass is 2 feet tall, you know, there's five newspapers in the driveway.
Family of raccoons living in there.
Exactly. So I'll walk around the house and I'll look in the windows, and I can get a good idea what the property is like. So normally you do well. Now, I have purchased, to be honest, I've purchased at least three properties sight unseen.
Really? In Lee County?
In Lee County. I did one in Charlotte County. And I bought one in Charlotte County. It was on a dare, you know, because I had a group of investors I was working with.
The games realtors play.
I invest by dare. Okay.
Yeah, so I was telling them that, you know, you could buy and sell a property within 10 days. It's not hard, you know, but you're going to have to become a very motivated seller and get somebody to want to pay you cash. And there was a property, it was in Port Charlotte. It was on a canal. There was a small house. It was 800-900 square feet. And we looked everything online through, you know, Google Maps and Google Earth, and we could see everything. And I saw the seawall and I saw the canal, and there was two bridges, you know, to the ocean or the Gulf. And I'm like, you know what? I could buy that. I figured the land was worth about $60,000. So I started bidding, because we were doing online and I was showing some people how to do it. And I put $20,000 and I was the highest bidder. I'm like, well, this is good. You know, and then within 10 seconds, someone else bid. So I finally got it up to, I believe it was like $49,000. I'm like, well, that's pretty good. And they said, well, you spent $49,000 and you don't know what you bought. And I told them, I said, well, if the house is still there, then I got a home run. If the house is gone, I still got a home run. You know, the problem is if you have a house that was burnt down, because now you got to remove it.
But you knew it was an improved lot.
It was.
Right.
I could tell, and I knew there was a house. I didn't know the condition. I also knew that if the house was there, it was worth over $100,000. So could I lose money? Sure. Was I going to? No. So I told them I could probably sell it in 4 days. And so we made a bet. Who's going to buy who dinner? So I won a great steak dinner on that one. And what I did is I sent my son to go over there and check out the property. And he called me up and said, Dad, I really can't get in the house. You want me to break a window? I'm like, no, that's really good, because if you can't get in the house, that means it's secure. I said, what's the roof look like? Well, it's fine. Well, are the doors and windows fine? Yeah, they're all locked. I can't get in. I'm like, wow, this is a pretty good deal. So I put it on eBay.
Really?
And I sold it in 6 hours for $60,000.
What? So there was a bit of a profit there, $11,000.
$11,000. I got the money within 2 weeks, but for just bidding online. And again, it's risk. And the risk is, what is your tolerance? Could you afford to lose part of that money? Because if I had to sell it for $30,000, I would have taken a loss. But I knew, I had the confidence, and I knew that the property would be worth a lot. The land alone, I'd make my money back.
Huh. Well, this is all well and good if you're a paralegal who's worked in this field, but the average real estate investor may not have the expertise you do. Is this only for guys like you?
No. So if you're a real estate investor, then you have that confidence level. Yeah. If you're a beginning investor, I was just working with a beginning investor, and I told her that you need to actually go on that property and inspect it. Do not ever, as a beginning investor, ever buy a property sight unseen. Mm. You know, because you don't know what you don't know.
Until you develop a feel for it.
Right. And like down here, say if we're going to buy a house in Cape Coral and it was built in 2006, I'd be a little bit concerned. And I had a client bought one of those at the tax sale. And he called me up and he said, "Tommy, it's great. I just got this house that's in Northeast Cape and I got it for $130,000. I'm going to make a killing on it. Can you check it out?" So let me go look up online. I'm saying, oh my gosh, it was built in 2006.
Oh, drywall, right?
Yeah. Oh, Chinese drywall.
Exactly.
Is that the year that hit?
It was in late 2005 through 2006.
Oh, remediation.
So I go there and he owned it, so I could break in. So it's not illegal to break in when you have permission from the owner. So, you know, it took me about 15 seconds to get in because, you know, having
your Tommy.
Yeah, it's Tommy. You know, there's not a house I can't get into.
Picture him coming up in a tank.
Yeah.
What do they teach you up in Jersey?
but also, so I'm Sicilian too. So, you know, obviously.
And a Marine.
And a Marine. So they're not going to keep me out.
Yeah, don't mess
and
with Tommy.
We walked in, and I brought my wife with me, and she immediately turned around and walked out.
Uh-oh.
The smell, the sulfur smell was so strong.
Sulfur from the drywall.
The drywall, because that's one of the symptoms that you could see or conditions when it gets moist. And so I checked the most obvious thing. So I'm looking in the circuit breaker box, and I pull it open. All the copper is black. Oh. Open up a couple of the outlet covers, and the ground wire is black.
It's full of mold.
And I told him, I said, you know, you got Chinese drywall, so you're going to have to remediate this entire house. So he did. He had to rip everything out. He ended up selling it. And he broke even. Mm. But I mean, you would have overpaid. You know, it was worth $200 when he bought it.
But what was the value of the lesson he learned from that?
Priceless. Exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
And for these tax lien purchases, don't you have to have 100% liquid money to pay off that debt?
You do, right? Immediately. Yeah. So at all the sales, whether it's going to be a tax lien or tax deed, I believe they're both 24 hours. I know tax deeds definitely, you got to have the money within 24 hours. Or you forfeit your deposit.
Well, what happens to the mortgage? Do you have to satisfy that?
So the mortgage gets wiped out. Because a mortgage is a secondary lien to a tax lien.
Okay. Wow. So for the price of taxes plus whatever the bidding will produce, that's what you're paying for. And you're done. You get no mortgage, you got a piece of property. And sometimes it could be a really sweet deal. After the break, I want to ask you about some really real gems that you've come up with through this method. But we are going to take a very quick break, so we will be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Wendy Payton, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
This is Ned Hale. You're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Hi, this is Jenny Moorhead with Cornerstone Coastal Properties, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Realtors are well known in the community for pitching in to do whatever's needed, collecting donations for storm victims, cleaning our local waterways, and even clearing brush for needy homeowners. To recognize those who truly support their community, RPCRA has established the Blaine Elmer Good Neighbor Awards program to honor those whose service rises well above what's expected. Named after our president-elect, who tragically passed away earlier this year, the 2021 Blaine Elmer Good Neighbor Award will recognize deserving Realtor members who've made an extraordinary impact in the community. And to our members, please send us your nominations for the Blaine Elmer Good Neighbor Awards program by filling out the nomination form on our website, rpcra.org. Nominations will be accepted between October 1st and December 31st, 2021. We look forward to your nominations and we thank you in advance.
We hope you're enjoying the Royal Palmcast, a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, your association for realtor resources, services, and education in Southwest Florida. We're committed to the success of all our members and advocate for property rights, both commercial and residential. We continue our efforts educating and influencing policymakers at all levels about issues important to realtors and homeowners. RPCRA also leads the way with community involvement, market analysis, and member engagement, all of which contribute to a superior realtor experience. With two convenient locations in Fort Myers and Cape Coral, the staff of RPCRA is here for you.
You'll find us online at rpcra.org and across social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, SoundCloud, and all major podcast apps. Be sure to subscribe, like, share, and follow us to stay current on all our upcoming classes and events. Now, back to Jim Sandville and the Royal Palmcast.
Welcome back to the Royal Palmcast. We are talking with Tommy Senator, who is an expert in tax liens and deeds. And Tommy, before the break, was talking to us about some of the interesting experiences he's had personally as an investor buying tax lien properties. Tommy, if you would, walk us kind of through the process and what you need to watch out for and some tips and tricks for that.
So whenever you're looking at a property, whether it's going to be a tax lien or tax deed, it's almost the same level of due diligence. Obviously, on a tax lien in other states than Florida, you're just buying a tax lien, and you're probably not going to get it. They're going to redeem it because it's a really valuable property. But you still want to inspect it. You want to make sure there's no environmental hazards. I know back in 2006, we had heavy for Chinese drywall, and that was an issue.
Well, let's start at the beginning. I'm brand new to this, and I want to find some tax lien opportunities. Where do I begin? Where do I find them?
Okay, so since we're right here in Lee County, we're going to talk about Lee County.
Lee County, Florida.
Yeah. Right, so it's called Real Auction is the website that most of the counties have contracted with this company called Real Auction. They're going to be the platform where most of the sales for the state of Florida are going to be held. And the platform is identical across many of the counties. And I guess they might have 40 or 50 counties by now, they do. So, but in Lee County, we hold our sales every Tuesday, and I believe it's at 10 a.m. I know I have a reminder on my phone to remind me that sales in an hour, so it just gets it. But they'll have a list. The list is published usually 60 days in advance. So if you're an investor, you're not going to go look at the list that's going to come up for next Tuesday because you don't have enough time to do due diligence. You want to give yourself ample time. So you're going to go get the one that's maybe a month out. Uh-huh. And you're going to go, first of all, you're going to look up the property. Then you're going to go on LEPA, right? Lee Property or Lee County Property Appraiser. So it's LEPA.org. And you're going to go pull up all the specs on it. You want to see what the county thinks it's worth, what year it was built, what size the home is, the whole nine yards. And then you want to look at the sales history, see who bought the house. You know, and that'll tell you pretty much if it's going to get redeemed before the sale or not. So I'll check through the Lee County Clerk of Courts. I'll look up to see if they have a mortgage on the property. Because if there's a mortgage and I can see that the tax and insurance are escrowed like they're supposed to, the bank might redeem it before sale, but it doesn't mean they're going to redeem it. Hmm. And here's the funny part about that. The tax department and the legal department are completely separate. So where they get the taxes goes, or the tax bills annually go to one department, but the legal notices go to a different department. It's not the same person. So they'll file it, but they won't tell the tax department, hey, someone needs to pay these taxes. So a lot of times it falls through the cracks. So I got all that part. Then I'm going to look up any kind of liens, you know, because we want to make sure we don't get stuck paying anything. The most common lien would be a code enforcement lien from Lee County or even Cape Coral. They could put a lien on it. If code enforcement, whether it be county or city, puts a lien on it, well, that's superior to a tax lien.
Well, what kind of activity on the homeowner's part would get it to the point where it's got one of those?
Okay, so the most common one is tall grass.
Grass, and you get a lien on your house.
So if you don't cut your grass and it goes to a certain point, they're going to send a landscaper out there and they're going to charge you like $200, $250. Well, that becomes a lien, and then every year it grows interest. Yeah, if you go and you have... I just saw it today on Shelby Parkway. Somebody had done a clean out, probably rental, and put a whole bunch of line of garbage across the whole front yard. And the other day, I saw code enforcement out there, and I know what they were doing. They were putting a notice on the door. You know, you got 5 days, whatever it might be, to clean it up, or you can get a violation. The next day, the owner was there putting everything in garbage cans and stacking it. But if he didn't, well, that would be a code violation lien. Uh-huh. And that would be on the property. So any of these liens that are out there, you'd have to satisfy if you buy the property.
Huh.
So we look for those.
Yeah.
The final thing is then we need to inspect the property because there could be hazards on there. More likely than not, it's going to be a renter on the property. I've seen a lot of times it might be an estate where the owner died, the children own the home, they're collecting rents, but nobody wants to pay the bills. you know, you got 2, 3, 4 kids that own this house now, and they're saying, well, I'm not paying the taxes, you pay the taxes. It just goes round robin, and taxes don't get paid. Mm. And if it doesn't get paid, it goes to sale. Here in Florida, if you have a tax lien, you hold it for 2 years before you can then bring it to the next step, which is applying for a tax deed sale. And that's where you'll see on the tax records, the letters TDA, and that stands for Tax Deed Application in Progress. Huh. That means you need to now look to see what date your property is going up for sale.
So a house could or probably will be sitting there for 2 years, vacant in many cases,
yeah,
before anything happens. Two years.
Absolutely.
Really?
It can be. Well, think about this. When we had in 2009 through 2013, how many houses sat vacant because the people were upside down and just walked away?
Hmm.
So they can be there. So if you see a vacant house, check the tax records. It's probably got tax liens on it.
Well, what's the soonest or the shortest amount of time that it would go from a homeowner to a tax deed sale?
2 years.
So it's minimal. It's going to take that long. So every property you see on the list is going to be that much in arrears.
Yeah. So under Florida statutes, it has to be 2 years of delinquent taxes before you can bring it forward to the tax foreclosure sale. And now here's something about tax liens for these novice investors that say, hey, I want to buy these. I can get 18%. That's awesome. What a great return. Well, tax liens have a shelf life. They expire after 7 years. So if you buy a bunch of tax liens thinking, hey, I'm making 18%, so that's 1.5% per month, this is great, and you just think it's like a savings bond, you're going to mature it in 10 years. Well, the problem is 3 years earlier, it expired.
I'm not quite clear on what happened there. How do you lose the property after 7 years?
The tax lien certificates,
yeah,
they have a shelf life of 7 years. So after 7 years, they become null and void.
So if nobody buys it after the first 2 years, right? Becomes available in 2 years, and then from then on, it's 7 years.
So you could buy the tax liens annually. Mm-hmm. So that means that they didn't pay this year's taxes. You could buy a tax lien. You need to hold that tax lien certificate for 2 years, and then you could bring it to the tax deed auction sale. But if you bought the tax lien certificate, you didn't do anything for 7 years because they say after seven years,
I gotcha.
You need to move forward to foreclose on it.
All right.
Then it becomes void.
All right. Yeah, I got it now.
I've seen a lot of those.
Really?
They just not paying attention. They just bought a whole bunch, didn't pay attention to it. And all of a sudden you see, it's 8 years. That tax lien certificate's gone.
Now, what if a realtor has, as a client, someone, an unfortunate homeowner who's in this position? Can the realtor help them out?
So the realtor should be doing their due diligence and checking the tax rolls, right? Make sure, you know, first of all, we're going to find out what their taxes are. You know, we need to know this, you know, and we're going to go and check it. If you see that it says that's a tax lien certificate, you need to go and just let the owner know that after 2 years, that can go for tax sale. If you see where it says TDA, tax deed application pending, well, that means that somebody had put the paperwork together to foreclose on it and have the county sell that property at public auction. Well, that's to the benefit of everybody, because if that property gets sold at auction and you're the listing agent, well, it gets sold at auction, you don't get a commission.
Mm.
You know, so everybody loses.
And it's the realtor's responsibility, right, to educate the client?
I would think it's more ethically responsible than legally responsible. I don't think we're legally required to do that.
But it's the right thing to do.
It is, right. Yeah, it's definitely the right thing to do, and a lot of people don't.
Mm.
I have a lot of clients now. I'm dealing with just raw land.
Mm.
And every one of them had tax liens on their properties, and seven of them have already lost their properties for tax sale. So that's a shame. It's just really sad. And what I'm doing is, you know, through all my research, I found ways where we can actually go back to the county and try to recover some of the monies that the person, the original owner, had lost. So right now I'm dealing with seven of those, trying to get back funds, which is good. And it's not an easy process, but it's simple if you've done it.
Mm.
So I said, but you know, it's really easy for me, but you know, I've done hundreds of these.
Yeah. Boy, it would scare me. How about you, Jerry?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Like I said, I've made an attempt to do that before, and I ended up bailing.
Probably had enough.
But I don't
that,
have the experience or expertise either.
Yeah,
so
you
need
someone
like Tommy to show
call Tommy.
And Tommy, when you mentioned before about the 18%, where does that number come from?
So that's the Florida statute, that a tax lien certificate will start at a maximum return of 18% per year. And when you're at the tax lien certificate auction, what you're doing is you're bidding on interest rates. So whatever the tax lien might be, say it's $10,000, and it's going to start the bidding at 18%. Well, then they're going to bid down the interest rates, because that's what we're called a bid down state. And you lower it down. And in Florida is unique because we do it in quarter percents. So you can go from 18 to 17 and three quarters, 17 and a half, 17 and a quarter, all the way down as low as you can imagine. In Florida, you need to really be very odd if you bid zero, because if you bid zero, you get zero. And Florida has one of these very unique statutes that they have what they call a minimum interest rate to earn on tax lien certificates. And it states that if you buy a tax lien certificate at any value over 0%, you'll get a interest rate of a minimum of 5%. So think about this. You bid 0.25%, and it redeems in 30 days. Well, the statute said you just made 5%. Mm. So that's pretty good.
Interesting. Mm. Interesting. Now, tell me about a time or two when you discovered that you had bought a gem. You didn't quite understand what you were buying initially, but you went to the property, looked at it, and you really made out well. Has that happened?
We saw what we were doing in Charlotte County, because we do Lee County and Charlotte County a lot. And it came across this one house. It was a small wood frame house. And I started the auction, and you know, it started out, the minimum bid was like $16,000. And we kept bidding it up. And I'm waiting and watching. All of a sudden, it goes, shows me a green picture. And it says, "You won." I'm like, whoa, this is great, awesome.
Yeah, this is the one you had mentioned earlier, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I say, wow, it's great, but you don't know what you want. I said, but you know what? If it's just raw land. So it was all good, and I decided that I want to sell it really quick, and I wanted to sell it within a couple of days, so I put it on eBay.
Yeah.
And we sold it instantly. I had a guy from Kentucky buy it, and he calls me up, and he says, before I send you money, is there really a house there? And I told him, there's a house there. I sent my son there. The house is all secure. It's all locked. Windows are intact. The doors are intact. He goes, okay, so what's your bank information? I'll wire you the funds. And we did a quit claim deed. And he knew that the land was worth more than he was buying it for. And I made, a quick $11,000 within that 1 week period.
So define quit claim deed for the folks.
Okay, so a quit claim deed is you're getting the title the same way the former owner has it. And because I have a tax deed, it's like a certificate of title. It's subject to any liens that might be out there. So I'm only going to be having it where I'm saying whatever I got, now you have. And it was his job to either have a quiet title lawsuit done where they do a foreclosure to make sure everybody was foreclosed out. Is one way. You could do a certification of title by having a company go and verify that the county did it properly. Or here in Florida, you got to wait 4 years. After 4 years, the title becomes cleared. And he was just going to use the house and keep his boat there and just come down here for the winters. So he didn't care. He's going to keep it for 10 years.
Yeah.
Why didn't you ask more?
I was thinking about that, but I wanted to go and prove my point because I made
to
a
do
bet. And I said,
timeline.
Look, but think about it. So for 20 minutes worth of work and waiting a whole week, I made $11,000.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't sneeze at that.
Yeah.
It's almost as much as you make, isn't it, Jerry?
Funny guy, Jim.
I tell you. So who should definitely not get involved in this stuff? Is there anybody you recommend? It's not for you.
That's a really good question. And there is. Somebody that's going to use their rent money to do this should not play in this game.
You got to be able to afford to lose it, right?
Right. And that's why I tell everybody, don't put it out there unless you can afford to lose that money, because that's always a possibility. Something can come up. Think about this. So what are some of the obstacles we have here in Florida besides our owls and our new gopher tortoises? We have sinkholes. What if you bought a property and it's a sinkhole and it swallows up the house? You've lost everything, right? So those you got to be careful of. I would tell people, if they have discretionary funds to do that, most investors, though, I'll steer them towards tax lien certificates. You can get in for $1,000 to $5,000 and just get a feel for it and go through the process.
Yeah.
And then work yourself up to tax deeds.
Huh. Interesting stuff. All right. I could go on and on and on about tax liens, but we have to get on with the show. And actually, we're going to come up on my favorite part of the show. This is called the lightning round. And I think I warned you about this, didn't I, Tommy?
Yes, you did.
Okay. This is the lightning round. This is where we find out a little bit more about Tommy, the person. We already know you're from New Jersey, but we don't even know. What city are you from in New Jersey, by the way?
Well, I grew up in a town called Norwood, which is far northeast corner. Mm-hmm. And then my wife and I lived in a town called Carlstadt, which is right by Giant Stadium.
Oh.
And we chose that based upon property taxes.
Oh.
So where I grew up, your average home's property taxes were about $15,000 a year.
Yeah.
And in Carlstadt, they were $1,200 a year.
Oh. No brainer.
Exactly.
All right. So let's get into the lightning round. By the way, this is the day when Jerry has to get up early. I think 3:30 a.m. Is that right?
3 a.m.
He drives out to North Fort Myers to a secret location.
Oh, yes, I do.
And we have a Supra lockbox out there that contains the questions
It's a very old one.
Yeah.
Lightning round. Yes, Jerry's going to crack open that Supra box right now and give me the questions for today's lightning round with Tommy Senator. Jerry's working on the Supra box. Yeah. He's got it.
And here's the cards.
He's counting the questions. He's going to hand it to me, there we go. Now, these are official 3x5 game show host cards, Tommy, so you know this is legit.
All right.
Okay, you ready for the first question? Now, we're looking for soundbite answers. Don't overthink it.
Okay.
And we're going to jump into it right now. Where would you live if not in Florida?
It would be Florida.
Hmm.
I don't know. Hmm. My goodness, where would I live? So we love Hawaii. That's really beautiful. It's just so expensive to live there.
Yeah. Well, Hawaii's beautiful, yeah. And I was going to say, there are no wrong answers, except Florida. That you can't...
Yeah. No. Well, if I was living in Hawaii, I'd probably pick Cape Coral.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, it's wonderful here.
It is.
You never even need to go on vacation, because you're already there.
It's beautiful.
Exactly.
And sunny.
I know. It is awesome. What is your guilty pleasure, Tommy? Something you typically don't reveal.
About myself?
Yeah. Guilty pleasure.
Pleasure. See, I love working, and that's terrible because sometimes it just gets in the way.
That's fine.
You know, but I do a lot of work.
That's a fair answer. All right. What luxury, big or small, could you not live without?
My boat.
Your boat. That's a nice luxury. Very nice. Remind me to hit him up for a boat after Jerry.
So we could make it plural, boats.
Boats.
Oh.
He's a boats guy.
Yes.
Wow. All right. We'll talk more about that later on our special boat show. No, that's someplace else. All right. Now tell me about some of your favorite things, Tommy. Your favorite sport as a participant.
So that would be gymnastics.
Really?
Yes.
We've never had a gymnastic
person
in here. Gymnast, I guess you'd call them.
So gymnast, yes. Yeah. I was very good at it.
In high school, college?
So high school, I did some in college.
Yeah.
But my goal was to get into the 1980 Olympics.
Ah.
And I just couldn't get the sponsorship. But when I was in New Jersey, or Jersey, ranked number 3 in the state.
Really? And what, floor exercises? What are we talking about?
All around.
Really?
So I did them all. So I did vaulting, pommel horse, long horse vaulting, high bar, rings, floor exercise.
Huh.
And my best area would have been high bar.
Really? Do you still do any of that stuff?
I do a little. I don't do too much backflips anymore. You know,
let the record show, Tommy just did a somersault through the studio just to show off. All right.
Jim does rings on his lunch break, though.
Well, I don't want to show off.
Yeah, that's right.
What's your favorite food, Tommy?
Lasagna.
I knew it would be something Italian.
Yes.
I don't know how I knew that. Favorite movie?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to have to get back to you on that because I'm saying the wrong one. I could picture. I just.
What two or. Name two or three that you like.
Two that I like?
Yeah.
Well, the old Gone. I like the old ones. The Gone with the Wind is good. A lot of the old Westerns I like.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. What restaurant do you like to take clients to? Clients from out of town?
So it's the Merrick Seafood.
Merrick. Okay. On 47th, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Downtown Cape Coral.
I think they call it something else, but that's. Right.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Merrick's.
I know what you mean.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a seafood shop and a restaurant, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right. What's your favorite location to watch sunsets?
My lanai.
Your lanai. You live facing the sunset, huh?
I do. So we have a western exposure with a very wide canal.
Ah.
So we can see the sun kind of setting over the horizon, reflecting on the water.
Beautiful.
So that's why when you ask me where else would I want to live, I live in paradise.
You're already here.
Yeah.
You live in southwest Cape Coral?
Southeast,
like me, huh?
Yeah.
All right, I'll have to come over to your house at sunset and take a look.
So we're on the Rubicon Canal.
Oh, I'm on the Bimini Canal.
Oh, that's right by me.
Really? We're neighbors?
No, distance. I could get there by boat, though.
Because I'm missing a trash can. Let me know if you see it. Hey, Tommy, what celebrity have you been told you resemble?
I have been said that. And who was it? That was a while ago. I don't know. Who do you think I resemble?
Jerry?
Tommy Senator.
Yeah.
Looks just like him.
Well, the Tommy Congressman is very similar looking. But
Well, I do resemble a guy that has been on TV.
Which one?
Me.
Oh, yeah, true. That's pretty good.
I would throw out there Al Pacino. How about that?
Al Pacino. I knew it was something Italian. I knew it. All right. And, do you do any imitations, Tommy?
No.
Okay. Good answer. I hold in my hand the last lightning round question. If you get one bucket list item, what is it?
So that would be to travel the world with my wife and granddaughters.
Travel the world. Wow, that's a big one. I love that. I love that. You're going to take, what, a year, 2 years to do it?
Probably about 2 years. Yeah. See, my wife and I have done it.
Have you, on a cruise? Or
no, just travel all throughout the globe. We've been to Southeast Asia. We've been to Australia, New Zealand.
Really?
We've been to Ireland. We've been to Italy.
What country has the most beautiful people?
Interesting. So that would probably be New Zealand.
New Zealand has beautiful people. I think of Eastern Europe. I think of Italy.
Yeah. Well, so they have great cooking in Sicily. Sicily we went to.
Yeah.
The people there are very friendly. And if they know you're coming, for some reason, the person we went to go visit gave them a heads up we're coming. And everybody, as we were walking past their places, because everybody knows about everybody, they would invite us in for food. Mind you. I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Awesome. It's really beautiful.
Nice. Hey, Tommy, that is going to wrap up our show. But first, tell me where people can get in touch with you if they have questions or if they want to pick up your book or anything.
So, I got my phone number, right? So that's 239-223-8130. My website for the book can be, found. The information on it is www.taxleanandeed, all spelled out, .com. Mm-hmm. And my email is senator@bellacasaservices.com.
And that senator with an E at the end?
With an E on the end,
Bella Casa has two L's in this case.
Yes.
Right? And Casa, CASA.com.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. And I want to let you know that you can get in touch with us at the Royal Palmcast by sending an email to shows@rpcra.org. We would love to hear from you. And no matter where you're listening from, and by the way, we've had a lot of listeners all over the world, all over the country, and we just love it. We're picking up.
It is fascinating when you pull up the geographic map of listenership the reach is. So, spread the word, people.
Yeah, yeah, and we do appreciate it.
And send us a line sometime. We'd love to hear
from
somebody.
Please, yeah. We know you're listening there in Colorado and New York and California, and of course in Florida. In Germany, in Canada, in France. We know you're there. So send us an email and let us know what you think of the show. We'd appreciate it. I also want to thank Beata Jones, our CEO, and the staff here at RPCRA for all they do to make our lives better and the realtor community more successful. We truly appreciate that. I'm Jim Sandville along with Jerry Johnson. We're going to cut out and see you next time. So I do appreciate your listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to The Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again every week on your favorite podcast app and visit the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association website at rpcra.org and our social media pages, including Facebook and our YouTube channel. Check out all of our RPCRA platforms and make sure to subscribe and share. For information about this show or other RPCRA productions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.